Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Wisconsin native Danielle Trissoni wrote a memoir 10 years ago focused on her childhood in La Crosse and how she came to terms with her dad, who had suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder from his service as a so-called tunnel rat during the Vietnam War.
That book helped launch Trissoni's literary career, which then turned to fiction and two novels that straddled the line between thriller and supernatural. They were written at a time Trissoni was married to a Bulgarian man who was at turns brilliant and also enigmatic and disturbing.
A decade after that first memoir came out, Trissoni's new memoir, The Fortress, is released tomorrow. It tells the story of that crumbling marriage and a last-ditch effort to shore it up with a move to a medieval manor in France. Danielle Trissoni joins us via Skype from France, although Paris in this case. Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back, Mitch. Thank you.
This is a pretty tough book to read. The further you get through it, the fewer moments of light we see. And so I imagine it could not have been an easy book to write either. So why was it important for you to write it?
Oh, such a good question. It's interesting that you say it's a hard book to read. And I wonder if it's a hard book to read because of the, you know, the subject matter is really about the struggle to keep a marriage together, a long-term marriage. We were married for 10 years. And so I don't know if that's, if that's what you mean when you say it's hard to read.
Yeah, I mean, I it's such an intimate book, and, you know, it almost in some ways feels like, you know, watching a neighbor's marriage disintegrate or a relative, you know, someone you care about, because we care about you from reading this book and from reading your other books, obviously. And so, you know, it's never enjoyable to see such pain, you know, that real people are dealing with.
Right. Well, that's interesting that you say it's like, you know, it's like watching something that happens to your neighbor, because before the dissolution of my marriage, that's how I always viewed it, as something that, oh, this is never going to happen to me. We all know people who have, you know, been in marriages that didn't work or relationships that didn't work. And I think that it is, you know, it's sort of like watching a tragedy unfold before your very eyes. Now, writing the book, you know, it's a memoir. So everything in the book is something that I experienced in relatively recently. And writing, you know, to go back to your original question of it must have been a hard book to write. You know, you're absolutely right. It was very difficult. And for the first year that I tried to work on this, like right after we split up, I immediately felt the need to process what I was going through by writing it down. I spent about a year just noodling, you know, like just writing stuff down.
And you said, as you said just a moment ago, you know, everybody has seen other people go through something like this. This is actually, you know, you had a marriage before this that came apart, but not in this way.
Yeah, well, the thing is about this is that I was very dedicated to this relationship. I had invested a lot in it emotionally. I saw it as, you know, I saw this relationship as my lifelong relationship. He was going to be my partner for life. That's what I thought when we met, and for a large part of the relationship. So I think, you know, the book is not so much, like a lot of my thoughts in the book are about keeping the relationship together. The book is really about persevering under circumstances that are difficult. And I think, you know, just in my, I think you've read my first book. I'm not sure if you did.
But of course
sure
I did, yes.
The first time we spoke was about that book. I grew up in Wisconsin. You know, I was the daughter of people who were divorced. I had a difficult relationship with my father, who was a Vietnam vet. And I promised myself, I think, early on that I wouldn't have a dysfunctional family. I think none of us go into situations, into relationships, thinking that they will. And so with this, you know, I had a previous relationship before this marriage when I was pretty young. But this one was the one that was going to work. And so really a large part of this book is about having dreams, trying to make those dreams work, and going to extremes in many ways to make them work. You know, in my mind, this relationship, my marriage was going to be, it was going to be happy, successful, in all of the sort of stereotypical ways that a marriage is happy and successful. And when that wasn't happening, I just sort of soldiered on and pushed myself to try to make it that way. I had a belief that with a lot of hard work and a lot of imagination, relationships can work. And I think the lesson to take away from this, at least for me, is that, you know, life is imperfect. We're imperfect. Relationships are imperfect. And be forgiving. You know, it's okay if something doesn't work out perfectly.
Well, right. And to that end, you said a few minutes ago that the idea behind moving to this kind of medieval fortress in the south of France was the two of you wanted to put your relationship back together. But in reading your telling of it, it doesn't necessarily seem like Nikolai, who was your, you know, ex-husband, was necessarily ever truly on board with that plan anyhow.
Yeah. I think he wasn't truly on board for a lot of things in our marriage, to be quite honest. But no, I was largely behind our move to France. I had always wanted to learn French. I had I'm a little bit of a Francophile. We have children. I wanted them to learn French. I had just had a big success with a book, and we had some extra money, and I said, let's go to France and let's go to some place that's really far removed from all of the troubles that we've had. We were living in Providence, Rhode Island before that, and it just wasn't working out there. We had a lot of problems, and I said, let's just remove ourselves completely from the situation. Let's start over. And we tried, and no, you're right. I think he did end up enjoying certain parts of being in France, but in the end, he was not on board with that, and it ended up not working at all. Which is why this is a memoir. when it doesn't work out, it makes good. You know, it's good for memoir.
Well, and especially now, and I don't think this is a spoiler. You are about to get remarried. My outsider's view is that you seem to be pretty happy at this stage. It would be really easy to relegate that period of your life to a file cabinet in the back of your mind. I mean, you could have written these journals, you could have put them away someplace and just gone on with life.
I could have, but you know, I think that this is what makes me a writer. I can't just do that with my experiences. And so I think that that's what just makes me is that when situations or, you know, experiences happen, in order for me to think about them clearly or to relegate them to the closet, I need to write through them. That's my way of being in the world.
There's a pivotal point, I think, fairly early in your relationship, which I guess didn't really turn into a pivotal point until much later. But you caught Nikolai reading your personal journals, and after you had, you know, sort of expressly told him he shouldn't. And I wonder if you have come to sort of a different terms about what's personal in your life and what's not, because in a way, the book kind of feels like a personal journal.
Right. Well, you know, that memoir is, I think, as a form, memoir is wonderful, and people love memoir because it does bring a reader very close psychologically and emotionally to the writer. That said, I see this book as it's very constructed, right?
Sure.
It's not just everything thrown out there. There's a lot of thought behind what I reveal and what I don't reveal. It's not something, you know, I'm very careful about that as a writer.
One of the other things that strikes me in reading about this time is that there are places and times in the book and, you know, and in the chronology where you seem to be very much in touch with what attracted you to Nikolai in the first place. Sections of the book in which you're really pretty kind to him and sections of the book where you are not so kind to yourself.
Well, I think that that's realistic. You know, honestly, if this book were just about me being perfect or correct or the right one, you know, often in divorce stories, this isn't a divorce story, but in with my friends, you know, if you're sitting at a cafe or whatever, having a coffee with a friend, often you'll hear like everything that was wrong with the other person and nothing that's wrong about your friend, right? That's definitely not what I wanted to do here. What I wanted to do is examine myself. And in order to do that, I don't know, realistically and compassionately, I had to look at what was wrong with me. And so you're right. There are a lot of places in the book where I'm hard on myself or realistic about what my problems were, because I had a lot of them. At the same time, I think that I try to be pretty clear about what went wrong in the relationship and why I was attracted to this person. You know, the book is, I personally, you know, there are a lot of wonderful things about my ex-husband, and I wouldn't have been attracted to him and I wouldn't have loved him if those things didn't exist. So it would be completely disingenuous of me and unrealistic as a writer to not include those parts in the book too.
And maybe this goes back to the earlier question about the file cabinet in the back of your mind. You write that Nikolai had some things in his metaphorical file cabinet that after more than a decade with him, you really only kind of generally knew they existed and that they were a huge weight on him, but you never knew what they were.
Yeah, there was a real, this I think is part of the reason this relationship didn't work out. He was very closed. Emotionally, he shut down if there was anything that got too close to whatever problems he'd had. He was, you know, he's a very talented person. He was performing as a pianist when he was 9 years old. And I think anyone who has that kind of pressure on that kind of talent, first of all, second of all, that kind of pressure, they have issues in their life that they have to deal with, and he just never did. Part of my, whether it's because of the way I grew up or part of the way I am, is I always wanted to help him figure those out. I was never welcome to do that. He didn't want me there. And, you know, honestly, he never really addressed them. And I don't know why. I think that our relationship, you know, clearly, like, a relationship is about two people communicating. So I think if this part of our relationship had been better, you know, there wouldn't be a memoir right now. There would be a different story being told. But it taught me one thing. And, you know, this is a really important lesson that I learned, is that you can't make people give you what they can't give. And even, you know, despite the fact that I tried for many, many years in this relationship to open up doors that were closed and to make opportunities that, you know, that weren't there, in the end, you can only accept what people will give you. And to be an adult and to be responsible in a relationship and to feel loved and to actually have something that works, it needs to be equal. You need to give as much as you take.
One of the hardest parts of the book to read is experiencing how your kids were caught in the middle of all of this. Do you think, is this memoir going to either today or someday down the road help them process what they went through?
Well, we've talked a lot about it. I am a very open, open kind of mom. And, you know, during the process, you know, during the divorce, we were talking all the time. And after, I think that they are processing and have processed it pretty well. I don't think this book is going to be, you know, a sort of manual for them, but I do think that it will be interesting for them maybe in 10 or 15 or 20 years to go back and look at it.
I wonder, I mean, given the first memoir you wrote, whether, you know, what a memoir by one or both of your kids about this time might look like.
Oh, I would love to read it. I would love it. I would love to read it. Although they were pretty young. But still, that, you know, my daughter was 8 and 9 when this was going on, and my son was 12. So even, you know, just recently I was asking them, like, what do you remember about Obey? And what do you remember about this experience? Because now we've been back in the States for 4 years. We came back in 2012. And my son is like, oh, I remember playing soccer. And I remember the things that they remember. I remember the ice cream at the boulangerie. You know, like, the things that they remember are so you know, clearly, obviously, from their perspective. And their perspective, they were very protected from a lot of the darker things that were going on.
Well, and thankfully, I would imagine.
Thankfully, right. I mean, it was something that I was very careful about and tried very hard to do. Although at the same time, are we ever able to protect our children, really? I mean, I think that we have this idea that, or some of us do, that it's possible to construct, you know, a pillow-lined, you know, sort of existence for them where they're not going to get hurt, they're not going to scrape their knee, they're not going to experience bad things. But in reality, we do. Kids do. All of us do. And it's just about learning how to get through it and have resilience and become better people after it, after it's all happened. That, for me, is the important thing.
You've been out of touch with your ex-husband for some time now, at least if I read that correctly in your book. Would you imagine he's going to read this?
I don't know. I wrote to him a couple of months ago and told him I'd written it. And told him, you know, I asked permission to use some material that he had written to me in it. And he said, no, you can't use it. You can't use that material. So he knows, you know, he knows that it's coming out. I imagine he won't read it. But that's his prerogative. You know, it's his choice. He's a writer. He's written memoirs. He knows what it's like to write a memoir, and he knows what it's like, I think, for other people to be written about. So I don't know, that's an unknown, an unknown factor in this.
Well, Danielle Trussoni, I hope a lot of other people read it.
Me too. I hope so. And, I hope people actually bring away something that reflects. I know that Obey in the south of France is very far away from the Midwest, but I hope that people are able to bring their own experiences to the book, or take away something worthy from the book.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Mitch.
Wisconsin native Danielle Trussoni's new memoir is called The Fortress, A Love Story. It comes out tomorrow. She now lives in New York, but we reached her via Skype from Paris.